This message entitled The Danger of the Self-Life was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on August 11th, 2019 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is Proverbs 16:18.
Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Praise the Lord. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for this truth that you have before us here today. Lord, you desire, dear God, for us to know what the right reactions ought to be to the things that come our way. Lord, we've been seeing this as we first of all saw what statements can be made about the Father. People think they're coming up with new doctrines and so forth all the time. And you want us, dear God, to test the spirits and make sure that these things are from Scripture. If they are not, they are to be forsaken. But if they are from Scripture, they are to be incorporated into our thinking and into our hearts, Lord. And it's your precious name, dear God, that will have all the glory. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The title today, I left the first part of the title on from last week. It's just the abbreviation that's on the board. It's an uncomplicated church in a complicated world. But the second half is the danger of the self-life. The danger of the self-life. Sometimes our own enthusiasm can be our downfall, can be our doing in, so to speak. Story is told of a young fellow who opened a small restaurant, and he wanted to specialize in making the very best pizzas. And he was very clear about this, the best in the world. You know there's a lot of pizzas in the world. You know there's a lot of places making them. This guy claimed to be making the best anywhere in the world. So he named his establishment Wonder Pizzeria. Wonder Pizzeria. He immediately ordered 100,000 disposable cups, napkins, dishes, and other items, all with his logo and the words, "If it's a good pizza, it's a wonder." If it's a good pizza, it's a wonder. He didn't think about it after. Well, obviously, he didn't think about it before. But he didn't think about it after until the order arrived. And all of a sudden, he realized what he had done. And, of course, by that time, it was too late. A lot of stuff was ordered with that saying on it. If it's a good pizza, it's a wonder. So his self-esteem goes right down the tubes, but you and I both know that's not a bad thing, because quite frankly, we're not supposed to have a lot of self-esteem. In fact, the Bible says to esteem others. It's not supposed to be about us. Basically, the Bible uses the word pride throughout. There are many places, I didn't count them up, but I remember years ago, I went through and I looked up every one of them. And not one mention of the word pride is a good thing. It's always a negative thing. Always. And we are warned repeatedly in the scriptures to stay away from it. All right? Let's look at something here. Turn over to Proverbs, please. And chapter 11. Now, this is not our text. It's before our text. But turn to chapter 11. And verse 2. Basically, Proverbs are one verse lessons, so you don't need 10, 15 verses to make a point. It's generally compacted into one verse. Chapter 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Flip over to chapter 13, okay? Chapter 13, verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. It says much of the same thing, but there it is again. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Now flip over to see our text for today. This is chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I'll read 19 too, since it does follow into it. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And you could go on for hours, like I said, and you can look up every place where pride is mentioned, and it's a bad thing. Not supposed to be proud. I think even to the point where we just use the word in a kind of a, what we figure to be a normal way. I've mentioned this before. I try to follow it myself. Instead of like telling the kids when they do something real special, say it's at school or whatever, you know, I try to restrain myself from using the word being, you know, proud of them, because like I say, the word pride is a bad thing in the scriptures. What would be more, you know, what would be better is not what we have in our hearts towards these people that do something special like this pride. What would be better is talk about what God says about this thing that they did. Okay? In other words, I'm thankful that you were able to accomplish this in school today or this year. If it's a project, you know, 2-month project or something, you know, let's be thankful that God gave them the ability and the wherewithal and the smarts, okay, to be able to do this thing, okay? But the focus is not supposed to be on us or on people in general. The focus is on God. And that's, I think, the thing we need to see in all of this. That's why God says pride is a bad thing. Because then you start to get the focus on, you know, telling people that they're, you know, really special and all of that kind of thing. We're special in God's eyes, but that's because He is love. It's not because we earned any specialness from God. Amen? See what I'm saying? To be proud of this or that or something else complicates the world. We certainly do not want it complicating the church. It's already complicating the world. We don't need it complicating the church. Some of you might remember a number of years ago, now this is really going back. This is back when we were at the other church. We had a VBS one year, and it was based on Psalm 139, and specifically the phrase was mentioned many, many times about us being fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay? In fact, and I didn't do a Bible study on it in order to do something with that. I had been doing this year after year, actually, Bible studies for the teachers, for the helpers, and so forth, so they can get a pretty good picture from the Bible now what this lesson is supposed to be about. And then they could use the helps that they got from the company, you know, from the VBS curriculum to, you know, fill that out, I suppose you could say. So I did a Bible study on this one too. And the Bible study was all about really the opposite of pride, because I want you to think about it. Even the statement that everybody used with fearfully and wonderfully made, that focus is not on us. That focus on who made us. That focus is on God. Now, not that He was fearfully and wonderfully made, because nobody ever made Him. The Bible is real clear. You know, He made us. All right? But the focus is on made, that God made. The focus is not on how great we are. Okay? And so if we're going to be anything at all, let's be thankful that God has given us the ability to do this or do that, or or do something else. I mean, I won't back down from that. I believe it very strongly that, you know, pride, you know, the Bible says clearly, what did it say here? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Not once is the word pride used in the Bible in a favorable sense. Not once. So when it comes to Psalm 139 about fearfully and wonderfully made, let's keep the focus on who made us. You know, he's a great God and greatly to be praised. Amen. There's no room for us running around praising ourselves for things. Amen. The only reason we're able to do anything that glorifies God is because God indwells us through an indwelling Holy Spirit. But what are we supposed to take pride in that? We don't need to take pride in that. We need to be thankful for God that he has given us that Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, A.W. Tozer, as you know, he's the one that came up with these seven things that we're looking at. These seven categories. There's the word. I've probably been looking for that for 3 or 4 weeks now. The categories of new things that come up. You know, and of course, in the last at least 30 or 40 years or whatever, this business about being proud about everything and self-esteem and, you know, and all of this kind of stuff. you know, has really surfaced, and everybody, you know, thinks this is great stuff. The Bible doesn't. The Bible says clearly, be thankful for what God has given. You don't have to be proud over it. Amen? If the Bible said anything positive about pride, then maybe I could reconsider that. But out of all the times it uses the word, it's always negative. We're not supposed to have the focus on us. Don't esteem yourself, the Bible says. You see, you be thankful for what the kids can do or for what somebody else can do or whatever. I think the focus needs to go back up to God, to be thankful. Amen? You see, everybody see what I'm saying? All right, so how did Tozer put it? Okay, you ready? Here's Tozer. Again, we can prove, this is the fourth thing now. What do we see first of all? The Father. What did we see second? The Son. What did we see last week? The, wait, did it just jump out of my mind?
Word.
The Word, yes, the Scriptures. The Word of God. Amen? So when these new ideas pop up and people say, well, now we need to see it this way. Or like I said several times probably last Sunday, when it comes to the Word, that so-called revival down in Florida, what'd they say? They said, get rid of your Bibles. Now, I'm telling you, that's not God's word. That's not what God told you to do. And God didn't tell them to do it either. They're doing their own thing. Okay? There's no pride in that. I mean, there should not be any pride in that. And yet, that's exactly what they were doing. They were very proud of what they were accomplishing down there. And within a matter of a year or two or something, the revival was gone. And, you know, gone with the wind, so to speak. And, you know, so where's the goodness of that? Tozer said, now we're looking at the self-life. So we got those other three things under our belt. We can prove the quality of religious experiences by its effect on the self-life. The Holy Spirit and the fallen human self are diametrically opposed to each other. Okay? Diametrically opposed. Turn to Galatians, and this will be real quick. So, Galatians. Galatians, and it's chapter 5. Here it is, verse 17. Well, I'll do 16, 17, and 18, since that's a whole paragraph. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Amen? Galatians, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. See, it's against the Spirit. So when you're putting somebody up on a pedestal and you're, I'm so proud of this and proud of that, that's against the Spirit of God. Why not just be thankful that God so loves us that he gave us the Spirit of God in the first place? That's what should be going on. All right. Tozer went on. He said, before the Spirit of God can work creatively in our hearts, he must have full consent to displace our natural self with the person of Christ. This displacement is carefully explained in Romans 6, 7, and 8. And I would have you turn there. However, we are not going to try to cover all of that. Romans 6, 7, and 8. All right, 6, 7, and 8. All I want to do is look at the headings that I have in my Bible. Just the headings for the scripture of these chapters. You ready? Now, this isn't going to be the same headings necessarily that you have, but you'll get the drift of these three chapters just from the headings. Okay? First of all, dead to sin. Secondly, alive in Christ. Dead to the law, for it cannot deliver us from sin. Only the Spirit can, for the Spirit alone can give sonship. And how does that happen? The Spirit leads to our future glory, helps us in prayer, and communicates God's love. Now, really, all I did was just read the headings. I didn't explain anything. I didn't go any further with it. Those are simply the headings. But that spells it out. Amen? And makes it clear that it's a Spirit we need to be thankful for from the Father. You know, thank you, God, for sending the Spirit. Because the Spirit keeps us on track. The Spirit will not let us get into a pity party or a pat on the back club, you know, a prideful thing. It's always a negative thing. Always. All right. Here's Tozer's second paragraph. Now, what he does, he's got two paragraphs on this. The first one explains the problem in the first place, and that is the self-life. That's the pride, the self-life. Okay? And I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Okay? That's pride. God says, no. All right? So there's the problem, first paragraph. Second paragraph is this. Listen, a good rule is this. If this experience, whatever this experience is, whatever this new doctrine is that's come up about the self-life, okay? What you know what I'm saying? That's what Tozer's talking about. There's new doctrines coming up all the time. And he was probably one of the very few back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s that saw it coming. You read in his books and he saw it coming. He saw the entertainment coming, not only to the world, but to the churches. He wrote a whole book on it about entertainment and how it's a negative thing, especially in the life of the church. A good rule is this. If this experience has served to humble me, now listen carefully. If this experience, whatever the experience is, has served to humble me and make me little and vile in my own eyes, then it is of God. All right? But if it has given me a feeling of self-satisfaction, then it is false and should be dismissed as emanating from the self and ultimately from Satan. Now, that's true. That is really true. But the whole world is about to say, and much of the church is about to say, well, yeah, but we have to feel good about ourselves. Yeah, we have to, you know, be up on a pedestal and so forth. And, you know, and that's why we're a witness or whatever. You know, look how God has changed me. So this is my, you know, this is my pedestal that I'm on. No, let's put Jesus in plain view. Amen? We live the life of Jesus. We don't live the life of the self-life. Can everybody see that? Okay? Nothing that comes from God will minister to my pride or self-congratulation. Nothing that comes from God is going to minister to my pride or self-congratulation. It's just the opposite. Praise God. I ran across a story the other day that I thought would be helpful. It's a true story that I thought might be helpful in all of this. But let me first ask, do you feel that God has ever... Now, this is no pride of you. This is God freely giving you a scripture to keep your eyes on. Right? Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. How many of you have felt that, you know, God gave you a particular scripture? Even to the point where that's your life scripture. Meaning, you're going to hang on to that till the day you die. And then beyond. Okay? Is there a scripture that's especially important to you? That you feel God was speaking to you, and every time a difficult situation comes up, especially if it's along the lines of what we're talking about, such as the self-life here, do you have a scripture that God gave you as a special touch? And then you think of that just as soon as the problem comes up. Okay? They call that your life scripture. They call it, this is a scripture that the Lord gave me. Or another way that's usually put is, this is my scripture. Now, hear me clearly. You hear somebody call it their scripture, don't take offense at that. Amen? Because that doesn't mean they own it and you can't have it. That doesn't mean it's only theirs and nobody else can read it. Or nobody else can take it to be theirs either. What I'm talking about is a scripture that God used in your life at a certain time that was very important to you and has always been very important to you. Do you have one that you can think of? Do you? Could you share it, Debbie? Huh? It's more generic. It's here. Yeah, that happens a lot too. Huh? I mean, anybody have one in particular, though, that just jumps out at you? What?
Psalm 119:133.
Yeah, what is it?
Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me.
And does that scripture come to mind whenever you feel put into a situation such as the one that brought that scripture to you in the first place? And see, that's what I'm saying. That scripture pops up in your mind and in your thinking. I know Cindy different times has said, well, this is my scripture. That doesn't mean you can't have it too. I hope you understand that. You know, it's not like she's claiming it and, you know, name it, claim it and all that stuff. And in the sense that, you know, nobody else is allowed to have it. But, you know, well, there's one for me. And I've mentioned this before. It's in the Bible several times. It's wherever the Lord says the battle is his. I've told you that before. That's my scripture. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have it. You don't even need my permission to use it. Amen? Okay? It's for everybody. But I just simply say, it's mine because I know God spoke to me during this situation or that one or this other one or whatever, that is true. And by the way, it comes up several times in the scriptures. The battle is the Lord's. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Now, I started to share a story with you. I mentioned that I had a story for you. And let me go ahead and share that now, and then we'll kind of plug it in. Okay? True story. In her book, Ethel Waters, this is the name of the book, Ethel Waters, Finally Home. That's the name of the book. Okay? It's an autobiography. Julian DeCorte tells of caring for the ailing gospel singer and of sitting by her bed and reading Psalm 71 to her. Psalm 71:15 says, "My mouth will tell about your righteousness and your salvation all day long, though I cannot sum them up." Though there's so many, I can't keep track of all of it. I can't give a list. And it's kind of like, Deb, I think what you're saying, there's a scripture, but it's put in different ways at different times. But it still is the same thing. You see what I'm saying? I think that's what this is saying. Okay? The heading under the chapter in Ethel's Bible, just like I read you the headings of Romans 6, 7, and 8. Okay? Just as I did that in my own Bible, in her Bible, it said a prayer for old age. It was of everlasting comfort during her final illness, but according to Mrs. DeCorte, and I'm wondering maybe if that isn't the author of her book, spent time with her and then help her write it. I don't know. Ethel Waters had discovered this psalm long before she was finally sick. She said, "Well, honey, it goes way back." You can picture her sitting there talking to this woman, telling her about her life. Perhaps for the purpose of the book. "It was the lowest point of my life. I was lonely. I was desperate. I was bitter from wrongs committed against me. Long string of them, too painful to mention, too painful to talk about. One night I sat alone in my hotel room feeling terribly sorry for myself. I was discouraged and fearful, and my heart was breaking, while off in the distance I heard people laughing and having fun at a party. In desperation, I turned to a Bible sitting on the table." Might very well be one of those Gideon Bibles that we hear about all the time. Oh, by the way, I got a card from the fellow that was here, about the Gideons, and he has sent two Gideon Bibles in our name to the mission field. He didn't say specifically what, but in our name, he sent two Bibles. I think I probably forgot to tell you that. But there you go, Gideon's once again. "In desperation, I turned to a Bible sitting on the table." She went on to say, "This was before I committed my life to Jesus. I cried out to God to help me, and I opened the Bible at random to the Psalms. My eyes fell on Psalm 71. It was a turning point in my life. The words fit my situation exactly, and they spoke to my heart and comforted me in such a wonderful way that I felt they were written especially for me. Ever since then, it has been my psalm." That does not mean that you're not allowed to read it, hold to it, memorize it. It just is important to her, and she knows it was sent specifically for her and many others, I'm sure, but she knows how it was sent to her. Amen? See what I'm saying? "Ever since then, it has been my psalm." And the devotional, Rob Morgan's devotional on this, goes on to say, it can be our psalm too. Amen? It can be our psalm too. "The battle is the Lord's." That's one of mine. "The battle is the Lord's." Through the years, when I see people trying to pick things apart, pick the gospel apart, make it be what they want it to be, pick me apart for giving the gospel, pick Jesus apart, try to turn him into something he's not, it really does come down to a matter of picking things apart. When people pick and try to bring you down, the battle is the Lord's. Amen? You trust him. I've told you, I think before, I know I have, told you before that Cindy's dad had this kind of attitude a lot. There would be stuff. I mean, this guy, you know, would have liked to have stayed where he was up in northern Michigan, but, you know, people weren't paying their bills and he wasn't making any money. So he owned a hardware store, and so he came down and worked at the factory the rest of his life. And he would often say about instances and basic situations, specific things that went on, the Lord knows. He would say that. The Lord knows. And the Lord will take care of it. That's what this is talking about. Amen? The battle is the Lord's. And with all that, all you have, without your word, without your scriptures, without your scriptures from God, without that, pretty much all you're going to be left with is the self-life. And that can be pretty dangerous. So God calls us to make a special submission and surrender, and that's the way to put it. Just letting him be in control, maybe, is another way to put it. To let God's life live in you. That's what Jesus did. He had God living in him. Amen. We're called to the same thing. Amen. And not our own lives without his control living in us. You see, with that, things get awfully complicated. What life is really about, it gets pretty complicated. What's uncomplicated is when you let him have his way. Amen? And you understand that his word is his word. We don't need to monkey with it. We don't need to twist it. We don't need to turn it into something else. We don't need to. Our ideas about God, whether it's about the Father or about the Son or about Scripture or about what the true Christian life is all about. Okay? If we just believe what God has to say. And like I said, he never once even intimated that pride was a good thing. I think the focus is supposed to be on God. Amen? And so we can be thankful to God for these things. We don't even really have to use the word pride. Amen? I know I try to catch myself on that all the time because it's so easy because it's just so normal. You know, oh, I'm proud of you. You know? Well, I try to catch myself on that. I'm not saying I always do, but I try to and I would like to. And that's just to be thankful. I'm thankful to God for what he was able to do in you. And through you. See, that's more the biblical approach. Praise God. Amen? Okay? How true, how true, how true. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, I do want to thank you for your love here today that you have given this truth. I know, dear God, there are a lot of people all over, many in churches and so forth, that don't believe this. And they'll fight it, and they'll buck it, and they'll do their best, dear God, to turn it aside, and just say, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Well, then they don't believe the Bible, because the Bible's pretty clear about it. So I pray, dear God, that we would just believe your word. We would just believe what you have to say about these things, and then we'll be much more in line with you as we go through these last of days. I pray, dear God, that's what we'd want above all things. Why would we want to enter the last of days and do things contrary to you? That just doesn't make any sense. So I pray, dear God, that we would truly come into alignment with your understanding on these things and what you say. And I thank you, Lord, for how succinctly A.W. Tozer was able to put it in several of his books. And even in this one section of his book about these seven things. It's important that when new things come up and people come up with new understanding on things and they say, well, this is God doing a new thing, that we take a good look at it, dear God. And if it's not in the Bible, we don't buy it. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that we would know that you are calling us, dear God, to believe your truth. And we thank you for all that you've had here before us here today. And we do desire, dear God, above all things, that we would live these last of days with your understanding. Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise God, amen.